procedurally generated. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Max Hamilton, Tom Schreier, and John Carson. Show's going up a little bit late this week because of some holiday conflicts, but we're going to be back to the normal schedule starting this Thursday, January 7th. That's 3 days from now. So without any further ado, we're here to bring you our games of the year for 2015. I want to get things started with the best story or narrative. We have a fair number of nominees. Want to get it started with Undertale, The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, Until Dawn, Soma, King's Quest, A Night to Remember, and Everyone's Gone to the Rapture. And I see that Wolfenstein is on here. Did anyone actually want to make that argument, or was that just...
I would say overall, I thought that...
Okay, cool. I hadn't seen it before, so I just wanted to make sure. Sorry. No problem. So then Undertale, Witcher 3, Until Dawn, Soma, Wolfenstein, The Old Blood, King's Quest, A Night to Remember, and Everyone's Gone to the Rapture are the nominees. And let's get things started with Undertale. Oh, and just to clarify, you guys, this is best story or narrative. This is not best writing. That's going to be our next category. So this is specifically best, like, overarching story or story within the game. So I'm going to give this, personally, I'm pretty strongly biased towards Undertale already coming out the gate. I played this about a week and a half ago. I haven't had a chance to really talk about it on the show since then. But oh my God, I loved this game. It does so many things right, from its like really simple, it seems like a very basic story as you're first playing through the game, and it has so many layers to it that are slowly unraveled, like sort of the further you get into the game. Like, little things that you'll notice at the beginning are foreshadowing to some of the huge twists towards the end of the game. I'm trying to think of a really good moment in particular that highlights it, that's not too huge of a spoiler. It's stuff like, for example, you have a lot of recurring stuff where, like, learning that helping people and being kind to them pays off and has huge change or huge like effects later in the game. For example, there's very early on, there's a ghost who's laying across your path, and he's just laying there and he's pretending that he can't see you because he has social anxiety. You can either attack him or you can ask him to move. And if you ask him to move, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize I was in your way, let me just move over here and do-do-do. And if you're nice to him, then multiple times throughout the game, he is a recurring character who either helps you out or has like a funny little joke to throw in. And all of the characters in this game remember all of your interactions with them. And I can't really emphasize that enough. Like, anytime you have a choice in this game, even when it doesn't seem like a choice, it's a choice that's remembered and has effects on a branching story that, you know how there's a lot of games where they say only one decision matters?
Yeah.
This is the exact opposite. Literally every decision matters, and one wrong decision can send you down a path you might not want to go down. I think it's a game that's got a really unique, is a really unique experience, and it's a story that you can't really find outside of gaming. So that's one of the reasons I love it so much.
The story that it tells overall, though, like...
I can talk very roughly about it. I mean, let's just be honest, there's going to be some spoilers here, so if you guys want to skip the spoilers, we'll be posting just a final list of these on our Twitter at the end of this, but we do want to talk about, you know, these specifics. So Undertale has a really cool story. It's a child falls down a hole in a mountain and is in an underground world full of monsters. The monsters were banished underground after an ancient war with the humans because they were considered too dangerous, I think. Sure. It says in the pre-scroll. So you're down there. You're the only human among monsters, and your very first encounter is with a flower who's says, oh, I'm going to teach you the ropes and, like, you know, dodge these seeds and grab these seeds. Yeah. And it'll help heal you and this and that. And it turns out he's attacking you, and you realize that, like, the monsters.
He just turns like this, super
yes,
evil.
He turns super evil, and it's actually terrifying. Yep. But the monsters in this game are not black and white. Like, you can't just assume that because it's a monster, it's a bad guy. And sure. Throughout the game, you're given the option to either spare or attack all the different monsters that you encounter, and based on the decisions you make, it completely changes several different endings. The long and short of the story is that you're a kid who's coming down to either fulfill a prophecy or to be the final human child sacrificed so that the monsters can permanently leave the underworld and wreak havoc on the humans who have, like, exiled them down there. But that story is really an afterthought to a greater story that's about, like, family and loss and, like, sort of the nature of playing video games, which we can talk more about maybe a little bit later, because I'm going to make some strong arguments for best game. But that's just a rough web of the story for Undertale, and we can, when we're actually comparing it to something else, we can get into more details. I don't want to spoil too much of it if I don't have to.
My only question here is, do you ever get upset that you made a decision and didn't realize you made one, and it kind of, like, ruins the end of the game for you?
That is the game.
But okay. Also, I think with this game, too, what, it's like 5 hours long or so, correct?
No. People keep saying that.
Yeah,
I actually started playing it based on it, them saying it was about 5 hours. My playthrough took about 10 hours,
okay.
I would
say. Still not too bad, but, like, it
maybe a little less. I'd say 5 to 8.
It rewards playing through it multiple times, so you can kind of go back and...
Okay, I like that.
To be honest, because there are multiple endings. I would say it rewards it.
Sure,
I would actually say it kind of punishes it.
But there have been people who, I mean, a lot of people who have just, like, dove back in just to kind of.
Let me put it this way: you can play through it multiple times, but without literally editing the game's files, there is no way to get the perfect ending unless you get it on your first playthrough, which I did. Fortunately, however,
that's because you're perfect, Henry.
No matter, well, I did get the perfect good ending, but no matter, like, how you there, unless you literally, like, edit INI files, because a whole theme of the game is that it knows you're a player playing the game. Here's another minor spoiler. One of the very first characters in the game is this matronly sort of cow woman who, like, wants to adopt you. And she tries to stop you from leaving her home because she wants to be your new
mother.
Doesn't
she, like, baby you a whole bunch, too?
Yeah, she, like, trying to teach you a pie, and she's, like, doesn't want you to go anywhere that's unsafe. She, like, walks you through a bunch of puzzles and stuff and, like, doesn't want you to, like, you know, try any on your own because they might be too hard. And she's really sweet. And then you get to a point where she's blocking your way, and you can either fight her or not, but it's not obvious how to not fight her, and I'm not going to give that away. But sure. You have to, with each enemy, they have a unique, every single enemy has a unique way that you convince them to not fight you, basically. And with her, if you kill her and then go, oh, whoops, I didn't mean to do that, and try and go back to your last save, they call you out on it. They straight up have a character who comes in and says, oh, ho, ho, you think that you can just go back without consequences and this and that? And how do you like this? And puts it back. So there are multiple times in that game where it breaks the fourth wall and does very weird stuff with how saving and loading works and the nature of
your
relationship.
But you can just start a fresh file.
You can't. Trust me. I was reading about this online because after I finished it, I was curious about it. Because there's one of the endings requires that you do a certain playthrough and then another certain playthrough right afterwards.
Okay.
And it changes how the ending is of that second playthrough as if you had only done just that one. Sorry, I know that's a little convoluted, but it's a very convoluted game, like, very much so.
Should we move on to another game to kind of...
Yes, and we'll keep that up there since against each other. Yeah,
very strong on that one.
I do feel very strongly. The Witcher 3. John, you want to handle this one or...
I mean, I can start off with it. I haven't played all of The Witcher 3.
I don't think any of us have.
It's enough to scratch the surface and kind of know, like, I know where the story's kind of going. For me, the best story elements are the side things that you do.
It's a very fully realized world.
Yeah. Yep. So, like, all the characters that you end up talking to, the NPCs, they feel like living, breathing people. I just don't know for, like, at least the main narrative, if that fits here.
Sure. I think a lot of people kind of burned out on the main narrative, but this doesn't have to just be the main narrative. I mean, I think side stories, certain quest lines, like, for example, the Bloody Baron are definitely long enough to be considered a game and are certainly, like, high enough quality and well enough developed to be considered. So I think, even though maybe the broad overarching story hasn't been compelling enough for 80% of probably the people who've bought it to finish the game. But I think the story in that game is good.
For me, like with something like Skyrim, I found myself actually just jutting off the main story right away and just doing a bunch of side stuff. And I see myself actually taking that route with Witcher 3 as well.
Right. Which is why, so Henry mentioned this on a previous podcast, but I did the same thing where I was exploring the world and just doing side quests. Mm-hmm. And it's been so long since I've gotten back to it that I kind of want to just do a dedicated playthrough of it where I'm focused only on that and do a basically a fresh start. And I think that, like I just said, it's such a well-written world and everything meshes so well together. They've created such a unique environment that I believe that's why it belongs under best story.
And what in particular about the story is it, or narrative, is it that like really makes it stand out? Because right now we're hearing good things about The Witcher kind of, but like what about the story in particular? Do you guys think puts it on the list?
For me, and this is reaching back to the first two games, the conclusion of that setup, because they always talk about the Great Hunt or the Wild Hunt, sorry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the mysterious background of, Triss and, Geralt, and just the way that they're concluding the story and finally bringing the Wild Hunt to fruition is what is keeping me in the game. And
Cool. So would you say that your interest is mostly from the other games as well?
It certainly set it up, but I mean, that's how any continuing story is.
Yes and no. I feel like the Witcher series is much more of a series that people have jumped off from whatever is the first random one that whatever was out when they got into the, like, I don't think that many people who played The Witcher 2 for their first Witcher game were like, I got to go back and play the first Witcher.
I would agree with that.
I don't think they're even some of them are even capable of it, really, because the first Witcher game is, like, horrifyingly complicated.
It's a hard one to go through.
I mean, I can barely play the first Witcher, and, like, The Witcher 2 even was not fun for me because it was so complicated. The Witcher 3 is just finally crossing the threshold of what I'm willing to put up with, to be honest.
Okay.
So I don't have any of that. I just want to make sure that it's not the previous game's stories that made you so into it.
Of all the premises, Wild Hunt was the most interesting for me, and I had wished that they would have actually explored that more in Witcher 2.
Sure. I'm going to be the odd man out on this one. I'm going to be honest, especially in terms of the Wild Hunt overall story. Not super, I was not really compelled by the main story of The Witcher 3, really at all. I didn't find the Wild Hunt to really be something I was afraid of, because they've trained me to think Geralt is like a bulletproof god. Like, I mean, he's not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of the Wild Hunt's going to get him. And furthermore, like, I thought that even the non-mission side stuff is more compelling. Even just stuff like, oh, there's a girl's body hanging in a well, I want to know why, to me was much more compelling than there's a hunt that's coming after you and Ciri, this girl from another game that you didn't play, is like important to you and you care because reasons. And was very much like, okay, well, I know they need a grandiose world-threatening thing to make this like a fantasy game, you know, but it's none of the actual world-grabbing stuff was interesting to me personally.
For me, it was like the little stories and the quests. Maybe that's why I don't know if this will win this at all, but it's like helping this drunk dude home and like just seeing people in villages and kind of hearing their little stories.
Yeah, or like the guy who, like, I'm in love with my goat, and if you want my help, you have to come bring me back my goat.
It's little things like that, but, like...
What else do you have to do with the goat, Henry?
I don't want to talk about it.
It's, you love it.
But...
It's your goat.
Yeah, I agree. It's more the little vignettes that are the most compelling part of that game.
Right, and I don't know if that fits as a best story, but, like, I really like those elements of it.
My thing is, like, you guys have dedicated a certain amount of time to this, but none of you guys obviously have finished it.
No.
I don't know anyone who's even finished it. My roommate is making a really valiant attempt now, and he's even, like, as hardcore as he is, he's, like, kind of burning out a little bit.
Yeah, so I guess my question is, is this side quest stuff enough to keep on going back, or do you feel like you kind of, like, overwhelmed by the scope of it and there's no main narrative to bring you back?
As someone who just recently picked it up again, I think the side stuff is enough to go back to, but
I think the side stuff alone is a good enough game in and of itself almost. But the problem is, for me especially, is like there's a lot of like talking and walking in between, like before that and then like after that. And I felt personally when I was doing the main story missions, I felt like I was being like I was taking care of it so that I didn't level past it. But it was very much like an obligation that I had to fulfill before I could get back to the cool, like exploring, you know, the bog and meeting the really cool characters. Yeah. I think The Witcher 3 has a lot of strengths. I don't know that story is it's one of its biggest ones.
Right.
That's just me personally, though, and we're going to come back to this. I'm not taking it off the list yet because I think that Max made some very salient points. All right, next up is Until Dawn.
Until
John,
Dawn.
John, this is all you because you're the big fan.
I played a huge chunk of it.
Yeah.
So halfway through.
He played the whole thing, though.
Yeah.
No, that's fair.
So Until Dawn, for its basic premise, is a bunch of teenagers going up to a cabin.
It's every horror movie ever.
In the woods.
In the woods, on a mountain, during a snowstorm. None of the power works. There's
bathrobes.
There's bathrobes. There's
hot tubs.
There's somehow baths that work, even though there's no power. It's weird.
Well, maybe it's a gas water heater.
Yeah. But anyways, like, so you play through this story. Every character, there's, I think, 8 teenagers.
Yeah, I believe so.
All of them could live. All of them could die.
All of them can die.
Yep. So, yeah, all of them could live. All of them could die.
All of them.
All of them can live.
Can they?
Yes.
Isn't there one that has to?
No.
Ooh.
No.
I need to go back and read wikis.
There is a way.
I thought I had a perfect playthrough. I guess I did not.
So, as you play through it, your story will change. I think, at least, like, story-wise, there's mysteries on the mountain. Do you guys care if I spoil things?
I just want to say that, well, we are going to spoil it. So anybody in here who cares strongly is welcome to step out while we talk about this category. But I you go ahead and spoil it. And then I'm going to just say, though, I called this literally half an hour into the video. Yep.
So there's a rumored killer that's on the loose. You kind of see from his eyes a bunch of times during the game. Which actually doesn't turn out to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the characters, or two of the characters, get kidnapped. And you have to make this choice to either kill one or kill one or the other. If you choose, like, the girl, she dies, doesn't she?
I don't even know which choice you're talking
remember.
About
so,
at this
so,
point.
So you have Josh, who is the...
He's the brother he's of the two sisters yeah, that die in the beginning.
Exactly. You're at his cabin. Basically, Josh sets up this whole thing. I ended up killing Josh, who eventually faked his
death. So really quick. So the rough story is some kids are at a party at a resort that Josh's parents own. He's there with two sisters and like 5 friends from high school. They play a prank on one of the sisters, the younger, less secure one.
Yep.
And she runs out into the woods in the middle of a blizzard on a mountainside. Yep. Then her sister chases her out. And while they're out like running and crying, they hear like a monster in the woods and it chases them to the edge of a cliff, and they also are seeing fire like shooting out randomly. And so they're hanging from the edge of a cliff. They get edged off the cliff, and an old man like reaches out to take their hand, and you can choose whether to reach for his hand or not. And that's the first big decision that chooses if people die or not. Then you come back, story cuts to black. A year later, Josh is throwing a party to like remember his sisters and also to get over it.
Yep.
And that's where things start going crazy. And you find out Josh is trying to do a weird kind of unbalanced, like he wants to do like a reality TV revenge porn video type thing where he's torturing his friends a la Saw, but it's all fake. And he wants to put it on the internet when he's done, but he doesn't understand that would never fly.
Like he wants to.
Also, there is, sorry, really quick. Yep. Also, the man is either a murderer who is living out on the mountain or an old Indian man based on the different red herring who's trying to warn you about spirits on the mountain based on which red herrings you believe. And then also there's possibly a monster on the mountain as well.
Yep.
That's the setup. Sorry. Now talk about the specific twists.
So when you have to choose if Josh or this girl lives, Josh fakes his death. He kind of comes out a little bit later as like the murderer. When he has Chris and I want to say it's Mike. It's 2 people just sitting in chairs. Like someone has to shoot the other person.
I'm not good with those.
Yeah, movies, it's but. Anyways, Josh comes out. He's the killer with air quotes. But he faked his death. He wasn't actually trying to hurt anybody, but ended up actually hurting quite a few people in the process. And then there turns out to be actually a supernatural element where there's...
It's the Wendigos.
Oh, yeah, the Wendigos that are on the mountain that are actually going to kill people.
Which, those who don't know, Wendigos are like Native American versions of like werewolf slash abominable snowmen, yep. Kind of.
So they're super fast. They will murder you. The other big twist, I guess, while we're at it, is once you get closer to the end of the game, you start finding out about what happened to Josh's sisters. Mm. Josh's sisters fell in a hole. You don't really... You assume that they're dead, but you start seeing signs of, hey, one of them survived. This is this person's little piece of like clothing.
Yep.
So you find out that one of them actually turned into a Wendigo and ate the other sister.
Or actually vice versa, because the way that the Wendigo curse happens is from cannibalism on,
sure.
Unholy grounds or whatever. And it was originally because there was a sanatorium on those on the mountain. But now it's because they were starving to death and one of them ate the other when she died.
Yep.
And then she becomes a Wendigo.
And you actually run into her and there's some stuff with that. Anyways, when it comes to the overall story, like, I didn't expect that much depth from it, but like, you find little clues.
Oh, and there's a whole recurring theme of the butterfly effect.
Yep. So things will change depending on what choices you make. And then you can kind of read into those, like, hey, you did this because this happened and this became an option because that happened. All the stuff about like the miners that were trapped on the mountain, that they have in there, and then becoming Wendigos because of cannibalism once again. I didn't really expect all that stuff to kind of be in there. I don't know if it's going to win this thing, but
yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of torn because I did feel like this was a really by the numbers horror movie.
Yeah.
I actually literally called Wendigos.
Yep.
Which is fine, I guess.
Yeah.
But mostly just because I'm a cryptozoology nerd. Yeah. But
And they give you the clues right up front with finding the Indian totems.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff. They have some pretty heavy handed clues. But the point being, I don't necessarily know that I was like, wow, that story was like, I mean, we'll see. Well, let's leave it on here for now.
Once we started seeing like, oh, you can actually like look at the clues that you found and start reading like all about like the details of that story. Like that stuff was nice, but it's not part of the main plot.
Yeah,
like,
it helps really you understand what's going on. Sort of,
yeah.
But yeah.
For me, I felt like a lot of the praise the game was getting was because of the uniqueness and the effort they put into the branching story, not so much the quality of the story itself.
Well, and it was kind of, I feel like some of the praise was that it wasn't a great story. Like, that's kind of the point. It feels
right. They were
like,
happy with campy B movie.
Well, it feels like a great campy B movie. Yep. That's the thing. It plays the voice acting and the motion capture and stuff.
Yep.
It is spot on a bad horror movie.
Yep.
But then the question is, then can a deliberately B movie have the story of the year?
Right.
You know?
Right.
We can come back to this and butt it up against them once we finish going down the list here. So then Soma, this is a big one for me.
Do we need to leave the room, Henry?
If you have not beaten Soma, you should really leave, because this game is good. Although I'm going to be honest with you, Max, this game is going to be, I'm going to argue this should win the category. So,
category?
Yeah, so,
I'll say my bit and then leave.
Well, then do you want to say your bit now and we'll come back to it? All right, next up on the list is Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. And Max, I think you're the only one who really played this at length, so why don't you talk?
Yeah, I played it from start to finish. It was great once we learned that there was a sprint button, which was more like a walk slightly faster button. Absolute terrible game as far as the gameplay goes, and the story drags at the story is told at a very slow pace just because of your inability to move through the world faster, but world-wise it's very beautiful. It's well intertwined, I would say, because there are numerous characters and each of them have their own struggles and histories and basically interactions with the other survivors of the town. And I compared it to that I already forgot what it's called, but it's very similar to a TV show, Broadchurch. That's what I'm thinking of. So if you like that show, imagine that town, imagine those problems, and it's just basically told out in video game format with a little bit of a supernatural alien twist. And I like the format of how they tell the story.
What is the what about the story in particular is it that you love? Because the characters sounds a little bit more like writing, so I'm just curious what pushes it in the story category in particular.
About how the apocalypse isn't how most people envision it, where like, oh God, and these angels are coming.
I mean, don't give me the cliff notes. Sell me on it.
Was there a certain arc in the story that you really enjoyed?
What about the story in particular was compelling?
Well, like I was just saying, that it plays with people's view of the rapture, like it's biblical, but in this story, it's more like this alien comes to Earth and accidentally kills people and it doesn't know it's hurting them. And basically, Earth gets wiped out because of just like an anomaly. It wasn't like a biblical intentional event. So I thought like that twist on what people think the rapture is.
It's the opposite of Until Dawn, where Until Dawn, I feel like you guys have seen that story before, but liked how the characters got killed off, basically. This seems different, where it's you haven't seen this before.
So do all the characters still think that it's a biblical thing, or do
no,
they know that?
No, I wouldn't say that any of the characters think it's a biblical thing, or even think it's the rapture. But like the player's understanding of what's going on.
Do they
changes.
Keep it pretty vague? For
I mean,
the name of the game is everyone's gone to the
right,
rapture.
Right, and that sets a certain expectation. But I mean, with your ball of light that's seeing other balls of light. Correct, like yes.
The balls of light, as you approach them, like take human shape, and then you listen to these conversations or just like internal thoughts play out, and you see how they're placed in the world, basically. But yeah, it's open to interpretation. I guess that was my interpretation of it.
Sure. I'm sorry. What about it was open to interpretation?
Because
it sounded like you were saying, like, pretty cut and dry, it was an alien who effed up.
Right, we know it's an alien, but I suppose the parts that are open to interpretation is what happens to specific people and their motivations. And
okay, like, so it's more, you're saying it's like a character study of, like, how people react to, like, a change in, like, what they expected, sort of.
Yes.
Interesting. Very interesting. I kind of want to check that game out.
Do you think it's strong enough to hang?
Think it hangs with like The Witcher and Undertale, as you heard?
Oh, it doesn't hang with. I can't speak to Undertale, but yeah, no, I think that I would never play it again just because of how slow it was to play. Like, it took me maybe 6 hours to get through the whole thing just because of the speed at which you walk.
Was it should it the be story like a that just kind of
two and a half
going,
hour game.
Though.
Yeah, that's the only reason I kept playing because it's a very beautiful world with a really interesting story.
And is this like a walking simulator? Or does
it's a walking
have,
simulator.
Okay, so it's not really no big input.
You can open
just,
doors.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh.
Hey, I mean, I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm about to argue for Soma, and Soma is definitely borders on a walking simulator. But yeah, so I mean that's pretty compelling. I'll be honest. I don't know if it necessarily hangs with Undertale, but I do think it probably hangs with Until Dawn.
Yeah, kind of on that same level.
All right. Well, the last one I want to do is Soma, and Max is going to leave the room because he's taking forever to play through that game.
I'm going
to
miss you guys. Well, I've played.
How long is that, by the way?
Really not that long.
Okay.
I'd say like, God, I'm terrible at estimating game lengths. In case you guys haven't noticed, but I'd say it's like 10 to 20 hours at most.
We should write down everything that we're saying on a sheet of paper and just hold it up so he can see it.
Yeah, we should. Just put this on the overhead speakers out there.
Yep.
Anyways, so Soma. This was, oh my God, the story in this game was so good. It's really an interesting. So have you guys, either of you guys played Soma?
I have not played Soma, but I have heard the bulk of the story for Soma.
Okay,
I can get behind this being at the top of the list,
right,
from what I've heard.
Yeah, so here's the gist, Tom. And we are going to be spoiling it, just like everything else on this list. So the gist is, you are a character who has just been in a traumatic car accident. You have a horrible brain injury. You're bleeding into your brain, and you've been given a terminal diagnosis. You have, like, a month to live. And you are going into a special new treatment method where the doctors want to take a deep tissue brain scan and use it to come up with sort of a repertoire of medicine and activities that you can do every day to prolong your life, basically.
Okay.
And they're saying you could get years out of your life, maybe even decades. And he's like, awesome, great. So you lay down in this scanner, it scans your brain, and you wake up 100 years in the future and an underwater base, underwater science base.
And this is for one of our best settings, right?
This is for best story.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, like, the setting is sick, right?
Yes, yeah. It is, yeah. A very cool setting. It's very Rapture. Okay. I'm sorry. Rapture. Yes, it's very Rapture-esque. Not the Rapture that we just talked about.
Yeah, the one that everyone's gone
BioShock.
To.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. The one that everyone's actually gone okay, to. Yeah. Nobody played. Everyone's gone to Rapture.
That's funny.
Anyways, though, so you wake up in this underwater sci-fi place and very quickly find out that the world has ended in your absence. A meteor hit the Earth and life on the surface has been completely wiped out. Literally everyone is dead except for the people in this undersea sort of science facility. Yeah. Yeah. And you, as you're walking around just trying to figure out what's going on and meeting a couple characters, well, you start to realize that everyone you're meeting is a robot who thinks that they are a human. Like, genuinely believes they're a human. And this is, like, disturbing stuff. Like, you've got, like, a robot who's saying, hey, help me, get help. And you go over to him and you're like, what's wrong? And you're just, like, laying there. Do you need me to, like, you know, lift you up or something? And he's like, no, can't you see? Like, I'm bleeding. Hurry up and get some help here. Like, I dropped this auto loader on my foot or whatever. And you're going, like, are you sure you're all right? Because, like, you're definitely a robot. And the guy's going, what are you talking about? Look at my arms right in front of my face. I know I'm not a robot. And it's very unsettling because he's very much a robot.
Right.
And to solve actually several puzzles at the beginning of the game, you have to actually disconnect robots. And they scream and they sob and they die. And it's disturbing as hell.
This is not a choice, by the way. You have
to do it. It's you at the beginning, you have to do it. Later on, there's some other situations where you can make a choice as you start to realize, oh, the reason I woke up 100 years in the future is because I'm dead.
That's messed up.
Well, someone has put my consciousness as uploaded from the deep tissue brain scan inside of a robot. I ended up being used as a prototype AI when people were discovering how to transfer consciousness, and you happened to get loaded up into something. Yep.
This is whack.
Yeah. You are so the story is continuing, and everyone you're meeting is human. You're not meeting a single human. They're all humans who are. Meet robots who think they're humans, or you're meeting horrifyingly maimed humans that are, like, grafted into electronics to keep them alive. Like, you see someone who has a mechanical, like, iron lung that is literally pipes running into their chest
to keep them alive. Last remnants of humanity.
And they're laying there going, I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy. Like, they're it's really disturbing.
Yeah.
And you have to kill them again to progress with the story for some of them, and others you have the option to kill them, and you start to wonder what's going on. Well, turns out that there's a rogue AI on the loose, the WAU, W-A-U. I can't remember what it stands for, but what it does is
Warden Unit.
Yes, something like the Warden Unit, exactly. It is trying to keep humanity alive because that's what it was programmed to do, but it has a very different definition of life than we do. Like, what it considers valuable life is not what we would consider valuable life. So the WoW has begun sort of grafting humans into these, like, living biomechanical life support systems. And you are an old consciousness walking around in a robot's body. What you're trying to do, you meet up with this scientist, Catherine, and she was in the middle of trying to upload the remainder of humanity's brains onto a matrix-like simulation that they could launch into space so that humanity could have some semblance of itself continue out into, like, the universe past our extinction. But she needs your help to actually launch it. Yeah, there's a space cannon that you launch it out of underwater, which is totally sweet, by the way. And so as you're doing this, you have to do things. You're realizing, like, oh, I have to go really deep to do this. And she says, okay, well, we just need you to put your consciousness into a deeper diving suit. And you're realizing, like, oh, well, I am in a dive robot, so sure. And slowly, as more unfolds, you realize you're not in a robot in a dive suit. You're in the corpse of someone who died in a dive suit, and then the WoW or someone took, like, a slot for these sort of mind cards that have your memory and everything loaded onto them, and then grafted it directly into your brain, into the dead person's brain. So you're literally a zombie walking around. You're in someone else's body, controlling it and everything. So then the plot thickens when they transfer you into your new dive suit. And one person says, hey, it worked. Let's get going. And the other one at the exact same time says, hey, Catherine, I think there's a problem. Nothing happened. And you realize that cloning yourself is not the same thing as transferring your consciousness. And you have to make the decision. Do you kill your own clone who, quote unquote, failed the transfer? Yeah. It's very interesting. It's talking about the nature of consciousness and life.
Right.
There are multiple points throughout the game where you get to make decisions like you have to get a password from a certain guy's brain scan that's been left there. He's already on this arc that you're going to send into space, but you have an earlier scan of his and you need to get this password from him. But to do it, you have to put him into a simulation and convince him that it's real life. And if it's not realistic enough, he like freaks out and like basically like they shut down the simulation in case he harms himself. Yeah. And so once you convince him, every time you get it wrong, it's like you're giving someone life and then taking it away and giving someone life and taking it away. It's very crazy philosophy.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm getting at, is that you make your decisions kind of based on what you value out of life and who you think is in control of all this, right? Am I getting that?
Well, more it's like you make your decision based on your evaluation of what is life.
Because there's points in the game where, like, someone could be in, like, one of those weird grafted humans,
yeah,
and they're saying that they're happy, but you can definitely tell that they're, like, tortured. And...
Well, and that's the thing, actually. There's a very interesting counterpoint.
Yep.
There's a point in the game where you get captured and you get grafted into one of the WoW's settings, mm-hmm, and it's you alive at home in a perfect world with your girlfriend sitting down to watch a movie together.
Oh.
So the question is, too, in those people's minds,
like they are
happy.
Yep.
So, and then you have a whole nother layer of questions, which is like, what is life? Is that a better life than the simulation that you could create? Because, yep, at least it's your real body and your real brain. Or is it not, because it's not reality? If you could live that way forever, would you? And like, if it's a fake reality, is it even worth it? It's just really... Ooh, my brain. Yeah. Like, that was a game that I played through, and then for the rest of that night, I did not play anything or watch any media.
I just thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I get what you're saying here. You know, why it's going to be difficult for Max to argue here. I mean, for me personally, like, it's hard to argue that's not the best story.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I guess
everything
I've heard about it, compared to all the things on this list,
I mean...
I think that's at the top.
I'll say this probably again once Max gets in.
Well, really quick, is there any other comments you guys want to make about the spoilers that I revealed? If not, I'm going to call him in and we can just speak generally about it.
Right. I mean,
not really. I mean, you kind of said it all.
Yeah.
Okay. No questions about it or anything?
No. I don't.
All right. He's coming back in now. All right. So that's all of the main spoilers.
So the ending
for Soma.
We're
just going to
one guy.
Yes, very funny. We haven't actually voted yet. We're just going to speak generally about Soma, because I think I made a fair case to these guys that I think they're going to agree with me personally, but we'll see.
So can I throw this out there to start?
Absolutely.
I'd say Soma and Undertale seem to have the best story or narrative. The best writing seems to be in Witcher.
Which writing is going to be our next category.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at, I guess.
So sure. I would definitely say Until Dawn, since I also played through that one all the way. Personally, I'd say I'll cut Until Dawn.
I'll cut it. I like that game a lot. I think its story is fun. There's some creepy things in there too. It's something that I want to play again really soon.
Your girlfriend, you said, watched it as like a movie, right?
Right, right. Yeah. She made all the decisions. I played the game and we just kind of experienced it together. It's good enough to have an audience for.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then what about, Everybody's Gone to the Rapture? How strongly do you feel that about for story of the year?
Not strongly. I would actually move it to best writing, but I think
sounds
that's
cool.
Like, Witcher 3.
I want to check it out now, but yeah.
Okay. So right now we got it between Witcher 3, Undertale, and Soma.
I mean, Witcher 3 sounds like best writing. It seems like the narrative isn't that, even that good. Like, you guys aren't going back to finish the game or anything because of the narrative, right?
Oh, I think, keep in mind, like...
Just to be clear, we're doing best story right now.
Right.
Story.
But what he's arguing is the maybe the writing's better than a lot of the story elements in the game.
Okay, let's save any commenting on the writing for the next category, because it's just going to get confusing. We're talking specifically about the story. Out of these four, and we're going to cut Until Dawn as well, so then out of these three, Undertale, The Witcher 3, and Soma.
I personally,
that's interesting you'd say that, Tom, because personally I would say that Witcher 3 is the weak link out of these three.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I might have said it wrong.
Gotcha. My bad, I misunderstood. All right, well then, let's pull The Witcher 3 if we're in agreement about that. So now it's a toss-up between Undertale and Soma. This is actually a conflicting one for me, because they are both really great stories in really different ways.
I mean...
Undertale is a better game. Soma is not so much on the non-story elements. That's really its only strength, is story.
Let me throw this out there. Did you, after Undertale, did you sit and not do anything for like 3 hours or whatever you said after Soma? Like,
yes, actually, I did. Yeah. I did the exact same thing. And then I spent the next day devouring a wiki.
So you say equally, like you thought about both games after them.
Yes. I mean, to be perfectly honest, these were the two most impactful games.
Blew my mind.
Like these, I would say these are in the two most impactful story-wise games that I've played in the last decade. I mean, these are pretty big games.
Where's your heart leading you? I feel like this is a very Henry topic.
My heart says Undertale, but my brain says Soma.
Which is fitting.
And I think Soma, I'm going to have to give best story.
I think from what I've heard about Soma, I would lean that direction as well.
It hurts me a little bit, but I think that Soma is just so incredibly original and has so many things that really make you think. Undertale makes you think about the nature of a game. Soma makes you think about the nature of existence.
That's what I was going to get at.
And I think that on that merit...
That trumps it?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to give best story to Soma, as long as everybody's cool with that.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Runners-up, Undertale and Wild
Witcher 3.
Hunt.
Bam.
All right. That was only 50 minutes, so let's try and...
I forgot Mortal Kombat X.
if we
could talk about Kung Jin and
Oh, my God. Get this guy out of here.
This will be three hours.
Best writing is going to take a little bit here, but then we should be able to blow through the next couple categories afterwards pretty quickly. So let's jump right into best writing, and I'm going to start things off with Contradiction, and I think I'm the only one who played this game, which is a crying shame. Fortunately, I don't need to spoil anything, and it's not really a spoiler-type game.
How is the writing in Contradiction?
Oh, my God. You guys, it's
What is it?
Amazing. So Contradiction is a point-and-click adventure game that's 100% FMV.
So all real actors.
Yes, all real actors. It's some of the best voice acting I have seen in my entire life. It's incredible. I highly recommend you guys, even if you're not into point-and-click games, look up a playthrough on YouTube.
Full motion video is the acronym used.
Yes, it is. Okay. And it is so funny. I mean, the characters are brilliant and memorable. The lines and delivery are hilarious and over the top and just chewing the scenery, like, just brutally. I mean, I can't even... Throughout the game, just, like, insanely ridiculous character upon insanely ridiculous character gets stacked up. Like, just these laughably over-the-top villains who are sitting in armchairs across from a fire drinking bourbon every time they talk to you. And, like, all of these just classic, like, stereotype tropes. The whole game takes place in, like, a little, like, shire in England. And it's a private detective who's trying to find out about these sort of... This possible murder that recently happened after a girl drowned, and you're going to figure out if it's
just like Broadchurch.
Yeah, you're trying to find
everything
out
if it's
the occult, or if it's, you know, just like a cover up, or if it was really a suicide.
What does this mean to you?
Exactly. Yes, I didn't want to bring that up too much because it was heavily featured in GameSpot, but probably probably my favorite moment of the whole game is that, which is at one point in the game you find someone has carved like a hand symbol of someone doing devil horns into a tree, and your character then proceeds to have unique dialogue and video animations for asking every single other character in the game, "Does this mean anything to you?" And he's just like throwing his hand around in a crazy rock symbol every time. Okay. Oh,
it's
a great game.
From what I've heard, one of the more memorable things. It's just ridiculous. And
I'm not exaggerating when I say it's the best FMV game I've ever seen.
Is it linear? Are there multiple people you can go after?
It's incredibly linear. Okay. It's a point and click adventure game.
There's multiple people you could talk to.
Oh, there's, I mean, the gameplay itself isn't linear in that, I mean, the story is linear in that you have to do everything in stages and follow, like, the story, but you can, throughout the game, you're going to all different people in different orders trying to figure out what clue. The whole premise, it's called Contradiction, the whole premise is you talk to everyone in town, then figure out contradictions between what they've told you and what other people have told you, and then you call them on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they reveal more of the story, which leads to another contradiction.
Which is kind of like Phoenix Wright,
yes,
if any of you guys have played that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. I really liked how it was structured and stuff, and I think that the characters were wonderful.
They're well-written.
Between, gosh, I'm trying to remember, they have Paul Rand and then Paul Rand and Paul Ryan, I think it is. Sure. Which I loved because it was obviously a play on Rand Paul.
Yeah.
But they're both these hilariously over-the-top, evil, like, eccentric billionaires that run, like, a private, like, it's a Skull and Bones type society type thing. And I wish we had the ability to play audio, but seriously, you guys, look it up. Like, these actors are incredible. Like, it's so funny. Anyways, that's really my big pitch for Contradiction. Okay. But even if this doesn't win this category, guys, this was an overlooked gem this year, okay, and I really would check it out.
Like, if we had most innovative, would you throw it in there? I mean, it just seems like...
Probably not, since it's all FMV and that's, like, 80s technology, but
it's just a well-done one of those.
And it's cool because you don't really expect a full-blown FMV game in 2015.
Right.
And yeah, it was great. I loved it. So next up is Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
There is so much writing in that game.
Was there?
The abundance of writing. Are you, like, every side quest that's in that game, like, usually has a cool story attached to it. That's, like, the conversations that Geralt has with people.
I'm of two minds on this one because the side quests have really well fleshed out characters.
Yep.
But this is also a game that is, especially the main story, is a little bit tropey. Like, you can very much see where it's going a lot. And also the character writing is incredibly predictable.
Sure.
They're not a single character does something I wasn't expecting in that game.
I don't usually...
In the main story or the side quest?
Really, I'm just trying to think of a character who isn't like a kind of a trope to some extent. Like, yeah. I mean, I feel like... I mean, Ciri is kind of an unknown, but she's not like, you know, what's she going to do next? Or like, wow, that character is so interesting. I can't wait to learn more about her. It's more like, okay, she's like the chosen one. I get it. Like, I've played a game or read a book before.
What? Well, okay, but so even of the side quest characters, like, you could call all those characters out as soon as you encounter them?
I mean, yeah, kind of. I would say that the only one who had surprising depth that I remember from what I played, now none of us have finished it, to be fair. You've played the most, Max, which I defer to you on this, so please tell me if I'm wrong, but the Baron was really the only one who had an untold depth that I wasn't expecting. Really, all That's the other true. Characters kind of, like, you have, like, the Moonchild kid who is, like, the trope of, like, a street urchin. You have, like, you know, I don't want to spoil too much from the game, but I felt like, I mean, Geralt is, like, the most boring character ever written.
I really don't care about Geralt.
I felt like Dandelion was not very well written in this game. I didn't like really Dandelion's character much at all in this one, in his weird lighting.
Let's much put better this out there. Two.
Is anyone going to put up a big fight for this game?
I think...
I
won't.
The big question... This
Max seems like he might.
I will. I think as far as the writing of the quest and everything, mm-hmm. the side quests, those stories, it was the most engaging.
Can you name two really good side quests besides the Bloody Baron or the Spirit of the Tree?
I'd consider those main quests even.
Two really good.
Yeah, okay. The Haunted House, where there's another... what are they called? Like Moon Children, whatever you referenced.
Yeah, I can't remember what they're called.
Okay, whatever they're called. There's like, so a dreaming, this might even be kind of a branch of one of the main quests, but there's like a woman dreaming and you go into this house and you find out that like she went in there, she's a psychic, she's going to cleanse it, and like this Moon Child is manipulating her.
Oh, I did that mission.
And there's a banker trying to take over the house and like you have to pick and choose who's on what side and solve it.
I didn't find that story super compelling.
The well mission with the husband and wife that were like killed off and like she's haunting the little remnants of the village,
the white wraith or whatever.
Does
it was
that, I don't know if I would even count or that as wraith. A story wraith, or as writing. I mean, because like there's no there's one character that's relevant to that story, quote unquote, that you even talk
to. Right, but I'm not talking about the husband being like,
I'm glad you fixed it.
Talking about
that story. No, the husband's dead.
Oh, wait, wasn't it the, I thought the wife was the ghost.
Because her husband
thinking of a different woman hung in a wall.
No, you're thinking of the same one. Everyone's dead.
Okay.
She just happens to be the one haunting the spot. But I'm not talking about just how a character's been constructed. I'm talking about like all the stories like within this world just were compelling.
My question is, do you think at the end of playing it, I know you haven't finished, but you'll be like, wow, that was amazing? Or do you think
Yeah, 100%. Like, 100%? I have been happy with every single encounter in that game, apart from some of the... Like, I agree with what Henry said about you feel compelled to do a story mission just to keep up with it, and then you, like, access whatever content was behind it.
So do you think, like... I haven't played it yet. Do you think it's going to be worth playing in the new year with all these
100%? I think with Blood and Wine coming out this month or next.
I want to be clear, though. Almost everything on all of these lists is worth playing still next year. Like, these are the best games of the year. There are things that aren't on this list that people should absolutely play next year. So,
fair enough.
Still next year. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't necessarily know that I would ding it or give it points for that, especially since it's such a long game. I think a lot of people aren't even going to have gotten to it till...
Yeah.
It's insanely long, especially with the new ones.
I guess going back to my first question, though, that's what I really like in a game. If you have, like, you finish it and you have to, like, think about it and be like, what just happened or why did I make those decisions? Or, you know, that, I guess that in my mind is the best writing, right?
What? Sure. I mean, I guess to me, the best writing is like a character that I care about very strongly.
That's, yes, I would agree with that.
I guess for me, it's not necessarily a character, but a story that stuck with me. Like,
Well, to be clear, though, we did best story.
No. The difference between best story and best writing, I thought, was that, like, story is the overall, like, story a game is trying to tell you. And, like, people are still writing these, like, mini stories within the game world that have nothing to do with that main arc that's, like, pushing you through the game.
If you want to do one of those, then pick one, I feel like. Like, give us a... Because you could have done a smaller one for story. So that's why I'm like, because I did say when we first started, this was off air, but that something like the Bloody Baron could be your argument for best story. But for best writing, I'm just trying to figure out what...
Do your version, because it's more different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I guess I just see The Witcher as having the best writing because of the compilation of all these mini stories, and like they just create this world,
right.
And it's very fully fleshed out.
Okay, I see where you're coming from.
I think
personally, I would say
head and shoulders above the rest of those out there.
That's fair. I think I would put a conglomeration like that more under something like story or game.
Okay.
But I see where you're coming from. I don't want to take it off the list yet, not until I hear a more damning argument against it. Undertale. Oh my god, the characters in this game, you guys, are so good, like hilariously good. Like the wisecracking skeleton who only tells bad puns, or his brother who's obsessed with catching humans but also obsessed with making friends with people and puzzles, and is like, oh, is the or the woman who is either your main nemesis or is like your best friend and like tries to teach you how to cook with passion and then burns her house down. Like, I mean, the characters in this game are so memorable. That ghost's name, it's Nabstablook, and I remembered his name because he's a memorable character. Like, the writing for these characters is so good and so, I mean, they're hilarious. They are unpredictable. They surprise you randomly. Here's a really, 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 really minor spoiler that's actually more of an Easter egg. There's a point where you're fighting a boss and you're asked to answer a question about one of the other characters in the game who she has a crush on. And you can either choose three different characters from the game or say, I don't know. And if you say, I don't know, the boss mocks her and says that she's in love with a concept that doesn't exist. The concept of someone who's watching her every move and is like guiding the decisions of important players throughout the universe. And she has a crush on the idea of the player of the game, which I think is amazing and adorable. And like this game, oh my God, the writing is so good. This is by far my number one contender for this category.
Yeah,
I can't put it anymore.
From I played of it, like, I mean, I ran into the cow lady. I ran into Flowey. Both of them were great. I don't really have much else to say, but
so basically, you met two characters and
I liked them.
Both.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Like, it's two for two for me.
And the next two characters after that are amazing, and the next one after that is amazing. I mean, it's every single character in that game is memorable. Down to literally the enemies you fight have character. Yep. Like, there's an enemy you fight that is a seahorse with a human a normal horse's head and human biceps on it. It's called like a flex something. It's like a I don't know, it's some pun on flexing.
Yeah.
And when he attacks you, he attacks you by flexing at you. And the nonviolent way to beat him is to flex back at him. And then you guys have a flex off until he flexes himself off the screen and you win. And later in the game, he comes in and to encourage you, he's like, let's flex, bro. And it's just like there's so many moments like that that are self-referential. And even a basic enemy is a character that's memorable in the game and has a story associated. Every enemy has unique, or every enemy that you like, you know, are nice to has unique dialogue that they'll talk to you about. Like, it's just... it's an incredible game. I never knew that the reason ghosts were so sad is because they just want to listen to music, eat pizza, and lay on the floor and feel like garbage.
Was it the characters? It's obvious with Soma why you had to think about it afterwards. Was it the characters that kind of like you were talking about earlier with
like
the
how it made you think about it?
Yeah.
It's more.
No, that was the story that made me think that hard. Okay. The characters are just incredible. I mean, they're just really, really good characters. I mean, the writing is just great. It's funny. It's even got some memes and stuff in it, but they're not like, you know.
There was a bit of that up front.
Well, but it's not like, you know.
It was a little bit cringeworthy, but I could see it being endearing.
Well, and it's also not, you know, Rickroll joke, LOL. Like, it's like a reference to a meme. Yeah. It's not quite so blatant as to, like, actually do the meme or something.
Even like the... like I said, I've only met a couple characters, but that whole sequence with the cow lady where she's like, all right, we're going to test your adventure skills. And there's like a huge just row of spikes and like there's no way for you to get through. And like you're about to figure it out. Like you're super pumped for it. And then she's like, oh, I'm just going to walk you through this.
She's too afraid. You
and
might
then just like
yourself.
leads you through this pit of spikes. It's little things like that.
God, I love her character.
Cool.
Then she leaves you in the ruins, and as you're exploring on your own, she calls you to remind you not to go anywhere because you might get hurt, and then is asking you, do you like cinnamon or butterscotch? Because she wants to surprise you with a pie. Yep. Like, that game is... I mean, I could literally talk about individual characters for the rest of this podcast. It's so well written. I loved it, and I got to stop myself before I just keep talking.
Right. Is it only on PC?
It is.
It is.
I believe it's coming to...
it's coming to consoles, I think.
Yeah, I think PS4.
I play it on 3DS.
Yeah.
Probably a good fit on 3DS, actually, especially if they could integrate some sort of touch version of control.
That'd
be really cool, actually, because it'd be kind of shmuppy. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that does it for Undertale. And we got Galick Z. Who wants to fight this one?
I'm going to actually fight for taking it off the list. Like, I love how... well, I mean...
No, go ahead.
No, I like it because
it's... follow Undertale.
It's just... well, that... It's campy anime, like 80s anime, which I love. And they go for it.
Like a very targeted and a very specific type.
It is. It's Robotech / I don't think Gundam, but like G-Force.
Giant robot fighting.
Giant
stuff.
Robots. Right, but like,
I think it's clever how they set up each thing like an episode of the TV where there's the credit. It's almost like Metal Gear's mission.
I was going to say, I can't even give, in a year of that happening, I can't even give anybody credit for that. Yeah. Everyone seems to have had that idea at once.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not the episodic as in like Telltale stuff, but like where.
No. I mean episodic as in like they run the credits after every mission.
Oh, okay. Like, gotcha. Well, I meant like there's even like an anime kind of like introduction to it, mm-hmm, like the old Transformers.
I hear it's really all about that outro. Though apparently it has an amazing like the end of the episode music or something is everybody
it's
is freaking
good.
Out about it.
But just
thought it was clever, worth a mention.
Every time the character picks up an item or like kills an enemy, he says the same blurb over and over again, and it's not charming enough to like hear it 1,000 times. It's like he picks up money, ka-ching, and it's I don't think it deserves to be here.
Get it out of there. All right, let's get it off of here. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I love you, Galaxy, but...
it got its honorable mention.
Not here.
All right, next up for best writing, Fallout 4. Now, this is an interesting one. I put this on here because I have some interesting thoughts about Fallout 4, especially as someone who was really, really hyped about it when it was first coming out. Not unhappy with the game. It's not really a Fallout game as I traditionally like Fallout. However, I think while its story was kind of lacking, its characters were pretty great. Mm-hmm. Specifically, characters like Paladin Dance or Nick Valentine in particular are very interesting and add a lot of flavor and insight that you desperately need in the Boston Commonwealth. Sure. I'm willing to part with this if nobody else is on the same page as me, but I do think it's really important to give at least a shout out to some of the companions. Piper and in particular, Piper and Nick Valentine are amazing companions.
Well, I liked reading Piper's story about the synth in the bar, like,
and the 1,000-year-old man or whatever called.
Like, that stuff's really cool. Writing like for the characters themselves, I've only met Nick once, and he's great.
Oh God, dude,
Nick is so great. Good.
Cogsworth is all right. Like
Cogsworth, I don't like.
Strong's kind of funny, but he's just kind of like the Hulk.
Strong is pretty hilarious because he'll mash on computers and stuff when you're not looking.
Like I've seen that. That is
like there's some funny little things, but that's kind of writing, but. Yep. I did like a lot of I liked almost every single companion in the game, which is saying something. I even was interested in some of the non-specific companions. Like, I got Kate, who's the lock-picking companion, and she has a whole backstory where she's, like, abusive parents and then, like, sold into sex slavery and then becomes, like, a brawler in, like, a blood money pit and then, like, you
That's
know.
Pretty rad.
It's really an interesting backstory, and she's a well-developed, interesting character who, like, has to learn to trust people.
I even like the guy who's selling sluggers in Diamond City.
Oh, my God, I love that guy. He's, like, Matt. Oh, God, what's his name? That dude is amazing.
But he's just, like, trying to describe baseball to you, and it's just all
two
people just like beating each other with bats. And you're like, no, that's not what baseball is.
Right, that was funny. That was
also
funny.
In case you guys didn't know, there's you can get a limited edition like 2076 World Series bat at one point in the game, and I actually brought it to him. And there's a whole unique dialogue thing you can sell it to him, and you can like really rip him off on it too because he's like a collector. Like there's a whole stuff like that. Is why I want to put it on here, even if it doesn't make the final cut. I think they deserve to be noted for what I think is one of the strongest points of the game.
Okay. Right. I'm fine with keeping that here for now.
Soma, I'm trying to think.
The writing in Soma is good?
Yeah, it seems like
a story. I do.
Okay.
I don't think it's better than Undertale.
Okay.
But I do think it's better than most of the other stuff on this list.
Okay.
I don't think that I need to spoil anything, though, to talk
sure,
about
Sure, we talked about that at length.
Certain characters like Catherine's perspectives, because she is a very isolated, like, nerdy kind of person, are very fitting with the changes that have happened in the story and stuff. And it's a really cool exploration of, like, antisocial people and other things like that. And I also think that your character is very interesting. Now, since there's really only two, there are a ton of, it's worth noting, there's a ton of characters who I know by name from this game and could tell you what they did, which is really cool. Cause you like, it's a very small world. It doesn't feel like there's a single NPC. You know exactly how many humans were left on that station, and you feel it every time you find one dead. Like it's very
Or you kill one.
Yes, exactly. It's very much a game where the characters are like the characters are half of the strength of the story. And so I don't necessarily think it's number one on this list, but I do think it deserves to edge out something like Fallout 4 or maybe Galaxy.
I mean, yeah, Galaxy can go.
Yeah, I know. I'm just
okay. You're just stating it. Just putting it above.
Yes.
All right.
That's really all I need to say about Soma for now. Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Rise of the Tomb Raider has a lot of cool stuff in the collectibles, but the actual like characters themselves, I don't think are.
Yeah, that bummed me out actually, because that's kind of why I liked the first one.
I still think Lara's well.
Really. I think Lara's fine, but the surrounding characters, like the main bad guy,
Constantine,
he's not that great. Jacob's okay. Like, he's a little bit more interesting than some of the other ones.
Jesus. I just refer to him as Jesus.
Yeah.
How far into the game are you, though? Because, like, so have you gotten to the first plot twist with her aunt?
Yeah.
Or stepmom, I guess? Okay.
Yep.
So, like, they telegraphed the hell out of that.
Right.
And then, like, that. Shortly after that, you end up in the next segment of the game, which is this geothermal valley, and it's like,
oh yeah, I am there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So it's like green grassland and everything. Yeah. And so like even then, it's still only a quarter of the way through the game, and they like start to set up these things and further explore these characters and stuff, and it's just like the writing gets significantly better from like the telegraphed clear plot twist at the start.
Sure.
But
I'll also say, as somebody who's watched in a complete playthrough of the whole game, I haven't played it, but I've watched a full playthrough. It does have a pretty cool moment at the end, like a cool writing moment. Yeah. I really can't tell anybody because you're all playing it, but
I think I know what you're talking about. I've heard that before.
I don't know, it's one of this one.
Yeah, but I don't think it.
I don't think it's even that good of a moment, to be honest. Yeah, a lot of people said it was quite impactful.
I'm enjoying it, and I'm enjoying hearing like the backstory of everything that's going on.
I do like how they explored her dad more.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, all the stuff with her dad's kind of interesting, but yeah, I don't think it's.
And even
here
in most games, I don't care for, like, especially in a game like Just Cause 3, like where you get the audio tapes and crap like that. Mm-hmm. Like BioShock was the last one that did it very well for me.
Yeah.
But I actually enjoy reading the scrolls and crap you find in Tomb Raider.
Yeah. They're
actually
pretty.
Which is the last one that did that for me.
Oh yeah, sure. No, that's true.
But yeah, okay. So cool. So it got its shout out. Do you guys think that it hangs with the others?
No, I don't think it hangs with Witcher.
Okay. No. So we've got the list down now to Contradiction, Witcher 3, Undertale, Fallout 4, and Soma. Anybody see any particular ones they want to just pull off real quick?
Contradiction is just kind of like striking me as a pretty interactive movie.
I mean, we're talking about everyone goes to the Rapture earlier.
No, I know, but like this is literally like a movie. But it like full motion video to me, it just doesn't strike me as a game.
It's a full blown point and click adventure.
No, I know, but it's
it's all right.
You're gonna have to make a much stronger argument than that to knock it off.
I don't consider it a game.
Here's what I'll say.
Then you have, considering that you've never even seen it, I'm just gonna go ahead and just dismiss.
No, I watched the trailers and gameplay.
Then you should obviously know it's a game. If something like Her Story is winning like tons of stuff,
I don't consider
game.
Her Story a game either.
Okay, well,
Well,
not everyone can meet your standard of what a game is.
So, what about this? How long is Contradiction?
For the record, I consider Gone Home.
I don't know.
I'd say 4 to 8 hours. Why does that matter?
Well, I'm just saying with Fallout 4, the characters keep you in it for 40 to 50 hours. And I think
I wouldn't say it's the characters that keep you in it. I'd say it's
the environment,
the world.
I'd say it's the game. I mean, I mean, all of the systems work together to keep you in that game.
Yeah, and that's one thought I had, is that like Fallout does a lot well, but like maybe not best writing. I definitely wouldn't say it's number one. Like when you compare,
I think I could see Fallout falling off the list,
drop out of top three.
I think at least with Contradiction, it is a game that is based on characters.
That is an interesting point.
Look, I'll say this. Contradiction isn't going to win, but it sure as hell is not falling off this list before Fallout 4, and I question whether it should fall off before Witcher 3.
Well, you can take Fallout out. Let's talk about Witcher. Unless, Max, you want to keep it in.
I still think Witcher blows Fallout 4 out of the water.
Okay. That is not what we're talking about. Fallout 4 just got taken off the list.
Oh, yeah, and Contradiction.
Okay, we are talking about The Witcher 3 versus Contradiction.
All right, so
here's the deal. Contradiction, it's the characters are really, really excellent and memorable, and it's one of the few FMV games, if not the only, that I truly, strongly would recommend to people as like, oh my God, this is how you do it. Like, this is really well done. They got all the actors. They didn't cut any corners with anything.
You could say the same thing about Witcher 3, though. Like, open world RPG, this is how you do it. Get in there. Characters, story, writing.
I'm describing all things specifically referring to writing.
Isn't this the big difference, though? You're saying with Witcher 3, it seems like the subplots and stuff are really fun, but you don't remember the characters. Contradiction, it seems like.
I remember the characters in The Witcher 3.
What do you guys think? I guess I get what you're saying.
One's tough.
Look, I'm going to play
Witcher. It's a tough one regardless. I do see where Tom was going with that, though, because I do feel like The Witcher is sort of hanging on this category on a slight technicality, because I don't necessarily know that it fits into writing for what you are personally arguing for it. But I don't think it's worth knocking it off for that, because I really don't feel like flavor missions fall under writing necessarily. Okay. But also, they're well-written flavor missions, so it's hard to say. But I do think that a well-written story about someone in a well versus a well-written main character, I go with the main character for better writing personally. That's just from my perspective, though. I hear where you're coming from. So what do you think about that?
Well, among the table, Undertale and Soma are definitely better than these two. Is that like the consensus?
Well,
no, because I haven't played any of
one argument
Undertale
at a time.
Okay, sorry.
Well, Soma I played, but
let's focus on Contradiction and Witcher 3. So, what do you think about what I'm saying here with specifically that the stuff that you're referring to in The Witcher 3 is a little bit more. Like, you're saying you like the quest design, basically, is what I'm hearing. And like,
no, I'm saying I like the writing of, like, the stories that are being told within these quests and the stories that these characters
right,
are telling.
The flavor of the text. Like, the flavor of the quest. It's the backstory to fill.
Well, you're just replacing the word writing with flavor.
Well, that's because it's called flavor writing. I mean, it's stuff that you are reading specifically. It's most of it is like you're reading it separate from actually playing the game. You're like going into a menu and reading it. That's flavor text. Like in
Dark Souls, not that.
Like the codex in
BioShock. I have not touched on the codexes at all in that game.
So it's more of the conversations that you're having
the conversations and like the actions that are just I mean, like in general, the experience of. Like doing a quest and then knowing that story, the story of that quest, what transpired.
And that is writing, for sure.
So,
can you be more specific? Like,
well, I'm done arguing about The Witcher 3. Like, I don't know how I can be more specific than what I've discussed on it.
Everything you've said has been incredibly general. So I'm just trying to get like even one specific, really, really good. Like, I heard that you liked the woman and the man who were both dead at a side.
Right. And then I talked about like the baby in the, or not the baby, but the godchild, whatever it's called in the haunted mansion, moonchild, whatever.
Well, you mentioned the mission, but what about it was well written?
So the personality of the moonchild, is that what we're calling them?
Sure. It doesn't really matter.
Godchild. Oh, godling. Godlings. That's what they're called. They're called godlings. I like the name godling. That was well written.
Cool.
I think that's from actual mythology.
No, it is. Most of the things in there, I'm assuming, are. But, just like the traits of the character, like how it was torn between, like it thought it was hurting this lady, or it thought it was just playing a game when in reality it was like doing harm to this woman and like scaring off the surrounding town.
So as everyone's gone to the
raptor. I was just going to say that. I was going to say, you're a big fan of that theme, aren't you?
It's good. It's well done.
Okay. I personally still disagree, but I'm willing to concede Contradiction since nobody else has really played it, and I don't think that I can argue it any further.
I might go the other direction because it seems like the characters in Contradiction were they stood out more to you than a lot of the stuff that's happening.
But it's not just character.
How's this? What do you guys think about this argument? I think that there's more bad writing in The Witcher than there is in Contradiction.
Well, compare the scale of the two,
but that's not what we're comparing. Best writing, like he said earlier when he was asking about length, that's not relevant. But the amount of good versus bad.
All right. Well, then I would say the best writing in The Witcher trumps the best writing in Contradiction.
Considering you've not played any Contradiction, I don't think you can make that claim.
Right, but they're weighing in on games they haven't played.
But I know a bit about Contradiction.
Yeah, well, I read the Steam reviews and watched the trailer and some gameplay on YouTube.
That's why I'm not weighing in like completely. I'm just going from what Henry's saying here.
Nah, I don't know. That's my stance.
Wait, so all right, let's go around the table here. If there's one thing that you want to save here, what would it be, Tom?
Who I like it.
Among all four games.
Yes.
I mean, I'm going to say Witcher because that's the game I'm going to play among the four. Okay. But
Witcher,
Henry.
Undertale.
I'm also on Undertale. So,
drop Contradiction. No,
I would drop
Henry. Here's a tough battle here.
I know. I was
Soma or Contradiction.
I think I'm gonna go Contradiction for writing.
Okay.
I think Soma has the story, but I think Contradiction's characters are just very memorable.
Okay.
So we don't actually
have. Does it fall under the category of like intentionally campy and bad, though? Kind of like how.
I mean, only insofar as like. I mean, yes and no. It's more like it's intentionally goofy. I wouldn't say it's intentionally bad. It's okay. Definitely
not. It struck me as like low budget, I guess.
It is deliberately trying to evoke low budget look. Like it's doing that on purpose, and it does a very good job of nailing that. It looks exactly how it was meant to look. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Well, I guess I was just applying the argument we used against Until Dawn, where
can't
be intentional and good at the same time.
I think from what I've heard about Contradiction, it is a lot more successful than Until Dawn, at least for that kind of stuff.
And let's just throw this out there, since we don't have to rank these, and I'm willing to lose Soma. Here's the real thing. Are you guys going to fight me about Undertale versus The Witcher?
Yes. I haven't played Undertale.
I'm more likely to go and play Undertale from everything that I've heard about.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to go play Undertale as well.
I'm more excited.
As someone who's played as much of The Witcher almost as you have, and the only one here who's played all of Undertale, I can say that, like, the writing in Undertale is in an entirely different league. Like, I'm not even trying to say The Witcher's writing is not good. I'm saying Undertale is one of the best games I've ever played.
I'll make this concession. If I go play Undertale, when I go play Undertale...
We're not changing these later.
Henry's going to accept my final word on the matter a month or two from now once I play Undertale.
No, but I will believe that you have a fully formed opinion about it.
Fair.
We'll have a discussion later, because that is actually interesting.
And I don't think the argument for scale with The Witcher having like so much writing and some of it being bad, like that's on them for not editing or figuring out what could be good about that.
And to be clear, you're not saying every single side mission in the game is really, really, really well written. What you're saying is there are certain side missions that are especially well written,
vast majority are quite good.
But we're talking about, are the vast majority the best writing of the year, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
See, there I strongly disagree, because nine-tenths of the missions that I did in The Witcher, I don't even remember.
I remember
the woman in the well. I remember specifically, I remember the woman in the well. I remember that the godling in the tower that you just mentioned.
There's like the defense of the town that like pissed off a group of
raiders. I don't
remember
that. All I remember besides that was the spirit under the tree and the bloody baron. And those were the four. And that was from like 30 hours of playing.
All right.
I don't remember any of the other little stories, and I don't really remember any details about the main quest at all.
Every single Witcher 3 story, there's like a twist and like some sort of like unknown factor.
There are a lot of wrinkles in the story. Every story is a mystery, mm-hmm. Of course there's a twist because it's a mystery and you're like playing detective mode.
Well, right. I thought it was a very well done crafted experience.
I 100% agree and agree. And I want to make it clear that picking one is not an indictment of the other.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just defending the one game I played.
I know. All right, well, I'd say let's put it to a vote, but there's four of us, and we've already made it pretty clear how we feel about this.
They all suck.
Worst writing of the year. Goes to Mortal Kombat X.
Don't really know what else to do besides make an executive call here if nobody's going to
budge. I'll vote Undertale.
I'm going to vote Undertale as well.
I mean, I'll agree with this thought that like Undertale cover to cover is probably better and that it deserves best writing because of that.
Right? Fair. And let's remember, too, that we're trying to make our decisions based off of best argument, not the opinion we brought in the door. It's about what's said at the table here. So if you want to, you know, push an opinion more strongly, continue making your argument, because these are all based on what we're saying right now, not, you know, personal stuff that happened at home that nobody else can see. So I'm going to say best writing then goes to Undertale, and then runners up are The Witcher 3 and Contradiction. Hey guys, Henry here with a quick editor's note. So we hit the maximum upload length for Audio Boom with this episode, and so we're just going to be splitting it into two parts. So tune into part two to hear the rest of our picks for Game of the Year, including our Game of the Year. We'll be starting things off with best use of music or soundtrack. Hope you're enjoying the show, and as always, game on.